I don't know if you've been going through the Bible through the year, but this week we started in the book of Job. Now, the book of Job is a very well-known book. It happens to be Stan Pepler's most favorite, if I remember correctly. It's a book that has a lot of grief in it. It's a book that has a lot of understanding in it. It has some very difficult passages and some very difficult questions. Some of those passages we sometimes tend to gloss over. But then there are the serious ones, the questions that are asked. Why did God allow Satan to even afflict Job? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, we can have as many answers as we have questions, and we'll really never know the real reason for all of the points and things that are brought out in the book of Job until, of course, we are with Jesus Christ himself, and we will be with him forever. There are, you know, when we read the Bible, I sort of categorize them into sort of three types of mysteries. There is the mysteries that are revealed in the Bible that are in itself that are quite understandable. There are those mysteries that are in the Bible that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we get deeper understanding. And then there are those mysteries in the Bible, you know, we're just going to have to wait and hear the answers to those questions that we might have when we meet our Savior. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says the secret things, or these mysteries, belong to the Lord our God. But the things revealed to us belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. And because we have the Holy Spirit, and we have it dwelling in us now, we are given more spiritual insight. Insight that Job and maybe some of his contemporaries never had. You know, Job wrote this book that we are reading this week almost 4,000 years ago. It's quite a long time ago. What we have today may not be all of the revealed knowledge that we are intended to receive at this moment, but there are things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. As it says in 1 Corinthians, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So one of the understandings that we start with, of course, is that Adam sinned. And Satan became the ruler of this world, just as he is today. We are cautioned both by Peter and Paul many times throughout the scriptures where we are told to be alert, to be of sober mind, that the enemy, or the devil, tries to prowl around and like a roaring lion, he wants to devour us. We're reminded in Ephesians that we are at war with Satan. Job was at war with Satan, and he didn't know it to some degree. He couldn't understand some of that. Satan was ever present, making his life a misery. But unlike Job, there was no crucified Christ at the time of Job. Job didn't know that. He did not know that part of salvation. Yet we now have the authority of Christ, we have an ability to resist that spiritual enemy. We can call on Christ, who has had victory over Satan, to help us through some very, very tough times. I urge you, if you're not following the Bible through the year, that you do spend some time in the book of Job. The interesting thing about the book of Job, though, is there's some very interesting, what I would call, truths. Truths that came about 4,000 years ago. You know, there's this common feeling that we assume that ancient peoples, for some reason, were uneducated and ignorant in comparison to our modern existence. But interestingly enough, when you read through the book of Job, it divulges our smart ancestors, our biblical ancestors, were actually very, very aware of many of the things that scientists today are finally discovering. But they were rejected by many people. I want to share with you some of those specific things that we may easily gloss over, because when we're reading the book of Job, we're reading about and trying to get the answers to some very big, serious questions. But there's some interesting things that happen in the book of Job that are undeniably used or can be used to prove the existence of who God is and that He is our Creator. One of them is in Job chapter 9, verse 9. It says, Job is saying, He is the maker of the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades and the constellations of the south. Who is he referring to? He's referring to the stars. That 4,000 years ago, they had already understood the stars, some of their patterns, their shape, and that they even had given them names. That's incredible. We have today, or up to today, we've had Archimedes. He showed up in 287 BC, and it was him who started. He was an astronomer. He also was a mathematician. He developed war machines. But, you know, it took Archimedes to help us understand the Bear, the Orion, and the Pleiades. Our good friend Copernicus, he lived in the up until 1543. He also was an astronomer. And he was the one who said that the sun, that we revolved around the sun. Well, that's interesting. You can be sure Job had an understanding of that. And good friend Galileo, he was an Italian astronomer, physicist. And he was able to identify some of the planets. And then, when was it? Sorry, the 26th, Friday, in the Wall Street Journal. The Webb Telescope, I don't know if you're familiar with this. This is a telescope that has been sent way out into space because we want to know more of God's creation. Those scientists didn't want to know. They wanted to know more, but they haven't yet genuinely agreed that it's God's creation out there. In the Wall Street Journal on Friday, the Webb Telescope, which was launched back in December, and the title of the article is, The Webb Telescope is Challenging What Astronomers Thought They Knew. The telescope is showing that how galaxies are being formed, and they were not being formed the way astronomers today thought they were. Interesting that Job, in the book of Job, we learn about astronomy 4,000 years ago. He also had the knowledge of the earth's shape. In Job 26, verse 10, he says, He marks out the horizon on the face of the waters for a boundary between light and darkness. That's interesting. Even Christopher Columbus, okay, he used the Bible, the verse in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 and 22, where it says, Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? The beginning. Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and the people are like grasshoppers. I guess we are. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Christopher Columbus used this verse to say, look, the earth is round, and I'm going to prove it to you because I'm going to sail around. But people didn't believe him at the time. Job knew it. Isaiah wrote it as well. Columbus believed it. But even though he believed it, people still laughed at him. But he used his faith and he used the scripture to understand that that the earth is round. The thing I find that's really amazing is that today there still exists the Flat Earth Society. And there are still people out there who still believe the earth is flat. It's crazy. Another one. I'll read the scripture that there is a knowledge of geography, that there is a knowledge of the north and the south, the east and the west. From the chamber of the south comes the whirlwind, and cold from the scattering winds of the north. That's in Job chapter 37, verse 9. Job knew this. This is the next one that I really think is pretty cool. I'm sorry that some of the kids aren't here today. This next one is that there was knowledge of dinosaurs. There were dinosaurs. Job knew that. He wrote, and I won't read the whole thing. It says, "Look at the behemoth, which I made along with you and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength it has in its loins, what power in the muscles of its belly. Its tail sways like a cedar." Right? Some people were thinking that, well, this is referring to elephants or hippopotamuses, some really big animal that we know of today. Well, I'm sorry to say, but an elephant tail does not have the strength of a cedar. All right? It just goes on. It says, it ranks first amongst the works of God. Well, there's a clue. Yet its maker can approach it with his sword. The hills bring it their produce, and all the wild animals play nearby. Okay? And then at the very end, can anyone capture it by the eyes or trap it and pierce it by its nose? No, very few people were able to get dinosaurs as pets at that time. And we still wouldn't. But here's the interesting thing. The drought that has been taking place down in the southwest of the United States has started to reveal dinosaur tracks. Here's a couple of pictures just from last week. In a place called the Paloxi River, they've just found that these dinosaur tracks have been revealed in what is called the Dinosaur State Park. But the interesting part about these tracks is, and it is controversial, so we're going to have to watch this space, they believe there were also human footprints nearby. Still to be proved, so I'm not going to make that in a statement. But the part that I will make is that there was absolute awareness of dinosaurs at the time of Job. And now here we are, some proof that is starting to be revealed. An animal that, as Job described, could not be contained. If you went and read chapter 41 of Job, you would even hear more about some of those big creatures. The other thing that he described is, how about the seas and the oceans that we experienced, that we have and see around us today? Of course, the Noah's flood had taken place. There may even have been remnants of Noah's ancestry or people later on still alive at the time of Job. In Job 38, verses 8 to 11, he says, "Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it first burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed the limits for it," the limits of the oceans and the seas, "when I fixed the limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, 'This is how far you may come and no farther. Here's where your proud waves halt.'" He set aside, and Job recognized that our Creator set the size, shape, and dimensions of the oceans. So then the chapter that I think is the most revealing, it's the one that God uses to bring to Job's attention who he is. He says in Job 38, verse 4, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth's foundations. Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. And then he asks a whole bunch of questions in that chapter. Some of those questions are still not answered by scientists today. You know, one of the things that we go through is Job understood a lot of this. He was given wisdom. He depended on God's truth. And we can see that from these little examples that there was much more to God as the creator, and much more was known by Job and people at the time than we give them credit. And yet they knew all of this without knowing Jesus Christ. They knew that there was a God, that there was a creator. So why is this important? You know, as we look through the meaning of these easily overlooked things in the book of Job, we can see how God's word established some of these insights way before scientists even tried to ponder them. Before a telescope was ever existed, before fossils were ever discovered, people knew that there was a creator, and they had names for the stars. They gave recognition to those things that were created. There was recognition to who created the earth and the size of the oceans and the seas. So here is Job, being all of this being revealed to him, all of this he writes down, and he's being attacked. He's a man in misery at the time. And we wonder, you know, how does he get through this? How does he get through this terrible time? His family's wiped out. All his personal goods have been removed from him. He is totally sick so badly that he uses the shards of a pot to scrape the sores off his body. And yet he's able to talk about these things and remind us of these things, of who God is. You know, sometimes no matter what we encounter, we know that if we stand in faith, that the circumstances that we encounter, we at least can go to Jesus Christ. We can go to him and accept him as our Savior. It says in 1 John 4:4, you dear children are from God and have overcome these challenges because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We are to be reminded that God is greater, Jesus Christ is greater than Satan. See, Job, for some unknown reason, he had that understanding. He had an understanding that if he was faithful and was faithful to God, despite not absolutely everything that was happening to him, he knew that there was somewhere, somehow, God was with him. In Job 13, he says, though he slay me, though God slays me, or I am being slayed, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. And he did. He stuck, you know, in our proverbial language today, he stuck to his guns. He didn't let anyone take him away from his belief and his faith and his confidence in God. So what should we take away from the experience of Job? Not only that God is good, we also have to take away the fact that there is Satan. But fortunately for us, God sent his Savior, his Son, to this earth so that we might enjoy eternal life. You see, we can say what Job finally said, even though it's not at the end of chapter 42. It's right in the middle in chapter 19, verses 25 to 26. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. When you read that statement, it's the gospel. The gospel message is written for us 4,000 years ago in the book of Job. It says, my Redeemer lives, and he, the Redeemer, will stand on the earth. Jesus Christ will come in power and glory to this earth. And even though my skin is destroyed, even though I might be dead, my flesh, I will see God. I'll be resurrected. Wow. Isn't that incredible? It is incredible. This is the gospel message written over 4,000 years ago. I looked at this and I thought, well, how can I summarize who is my Redeemer? Who is my Redeemer? And I apologize, I did not put this scripture up, but I will read it. It's in Colossians. It's in the book of Colossians in the very first chapter. And this summarizes a lot of what Job understood and experienced. But he didn't know the name Jesus Christ. He knew God. Starting in verse 15, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Even those dinosaurs. All right. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. So that he's resurrected. So that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. How did he do it? By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And then Paul writes in Colossians, once you were alienated from God, and we're enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. What an amazing blessing. Job understood a lot of that. We have been blessed by knowing who Jesus Christ is. We have been blessed. Yes, we see these interesting facts that were revealed 4,000 years ago by Job. But we know our Redeemer lives. So did Job. But we now know who our Redeemer is. What an amazing, amazing gift that we have. Great God, our Father in heaven, we humbly come before your throne. We just thank you. Thank you for your word that has been preserved and made available to us so easily and readily down through the ages, that it's available to us, that, Father, you speak to us through your word, that your Holy Spirit helps us understand your word, and above all, that your Son, our Redeemer, lives, and that we can count on him of the promise that you have given, that by his shed blood, by his gift, by the gift of grace, your compassion, your mercy, that the great Creator is a graceful, gracious, wonderful, amazing, mighty God. We thank you that our Redeemer lives, that he has had victory over Satan, and that we can count on one day seeing him, as will Job. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' righteous name. Amen. Amen. So as our closing hymn, we will sing Because He Lives.